You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The Lok Sabha elections of 2019 are underway and 3 out of 7 phases are completed as of this evening, that is the 23rd of April. There were family-friendly photo ops today. Prime Minister Narendra Modi meeting his mother before casting his vote in Ahmedabad, under where his wife was, and Amit Shah casting his vote in the same city with his wife. Elsewhere, one of the leaders of the opposition, Rahul Gandhi, is fighting to avoid a contempt ruling from the Supreme Court even as his second seat, Wayanad, went to the polls today on Tuesday. He's, of course, battling that case on account of Meenakshi Lekhi and the defamation charges, etc. Gandhi is up against 20 other candidates in a packed field, including potential allies, CPI. Now, that is a good note, the note of alliance, to bring in our topic for the day. Political alliances and where they stand as we speak. As India votes for or against Modi, the opposition, which unfortunately as of now resembles a scattered debris field of political dynasties and ideologies in various states of massive disrepair, has found its mojo after deciding to unite in order to defeat someone that Mamata Banerjee described as Hitler's uncle. I'm just wondering if uncles are more devious than people who are criminals, but there it is. Hitler's uncle is what Mamata Banerjee called Narendra Modi. Interesting aside here though, Hitler's nephew, called William, changed his surname to Stuart Houston and wrote an essay called, well, Why I Hate My Uncle. Well, as per some sections of society, there might be some reason after all to hate an uncle. Anyway, the desire to stop the Hindutva juggernaut has united secular forces in India, with many of them voicing the opinion at different times that a coalition will be necessary to stall the march of this juggernaut. What that means is we could be seeing another era of coalition politics in India if the many grand alliances defeat Narendra Modi. How are they planning to do it? And what will the future of India be under coalition rule? And that is what we try to decode on this episode of Decoding 2019 with me, Rakesh Sharma, right here on Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series, Political Alliances and the Scramble for Power.
Now, never mind cephalology that drives TV debates every election cycle, the election is still undecided, with no one really sure of anything. It's no surprise then that, according to Live Mint, and I quote, Congress and the BJP are banking on regional parties to stitch up their numbers beyond the Hindi heartland states. 2019 is turning out to be the biggest platform for coalition politics, unquote. It added that alliances with regional parties are most pronounced in the northeast and southern states of India, where both the BJP and the Congress have limited representations. Praveen Chakravarti, chairperson, Data Analytics Department of Congress, claimed that the Congress will concede the most number of seats to allies and contest the fewest number in this parliamentary election. He tweeted, and I quote, amidst all the din, 2019 will be the most alliance-friendly election for Indian National Congress. With just the already announced alliances, it will concede the most number of seats to alliance partners and contest its fewest number of seats in a Lok Sabha election ever. Unquote. The numbers bear this out. Economic Times estimated that the Congress contested 529 seats in 1996, 467 in 1998, 451 in 1999, 414 in 2004, 440 going up again in 2009, 464 in 2014 going up again. It has now declared candidates in 218 seats for the 2019 Lok Sabha polls so far. The resurgence of regional parties and the rising popularity of identity politics also saw our news headlines dominated by calls for pre-poll alliances, forcing non-BJP and non-Congress outfits to pick sides ahead of the election. The current state of affairs between the Congress and Aam Aadmi Party in Delhi, with AAP repeatedly proposing an alliance and the grand old party rejecting every such proposal, has been amusing to watch, to say the least. After being approached countless times, I think the Congress must find a way to convey to AAP that no means no. Much like everybody else in the world should know. Perhaps a Sharmila Tagore type domicile from an evening in Paris should suffice. Or maybe they even cross party lines and borrow a Hema Malini line that goes, Nahi. One analysis in the Economic Times observed, and I quote, it is a bad cocktail. Many in the Congress party's Delhi unit remain pathologically anti-Aam Aadmi Party, arguing that a short-term alliance with the party that dethroned them in Delhi would pose a long-term existential threat in the state for them, unquote. In the most important state, electorally speaking, Uttar Pradesh, neither Mayawati nor Akhilesh Akhilesh Yadav have embraced Rahul Gandhi's or Priyanka Gandhi Vadra's political overtures. The refrain usually is that the eventual Prime Minister, should Modi be defeated, would be decided later. Even within the Samajwadi Party, there remain divisions. ET noted that according to some party leaders, Mulayam Singh Yadav, his wife and daughter-in-law are actively working against Akhilesh. The SP-BSP combine, which is a tenuous alliance on its best days, rejected the Congress's offer of leaving 7 seats for them in Uttar Pradesh. Turning down the Congress offer, Mayawati asked it to contest all 80 seats. Now we turn to West Bengal and what is happening there in terms of alliances. Now it goes without saying that West Bengal is a rather crucial state. It has 42 Lok Sabha seats up for grabs, meaning if a coalition were to form a government at the centre, TMC and Mamata Banerjee, who dominate West Bengal, could well be a senior partner, and even Mamata Banerjee could become the Prime Minister. Big lift from the railway ministries she has enjoyed so far. The alliance between the Congress and the left in that state crash-landed even before it could take off. West Bengal's senior Congress leader, Abdul Mannan, tried to forge an alliance with the TMC as well, but according to the Economic Times, the personal chemistry between Mamata Banerjee and Rahul Gandhi is not at its best. Banerjee was never keen on an alliance with the Congress because she knows that in Bengal, the grand old party is in a state of decay. Unquote. Right now, the Trinamool's domination on the basis of Banerjee's brand equity in the state is undeniable. She rules Bengal as we speak. Even in the Battleground States podcast that we did where we spoke about West Bengal, it became all too clear that the kind of power that Mamata Banerjee enjoys and the kind of clout she wields is not matched by anyone else in the fray in Bengal. Mamata Banerjee knows that if her party was to align with the Congress, it would be the Congress which would benefit more in the state than it is the other way around. Their BJP is right now the main opposition for her in West Bengal. Banerjee is supremely confident of her position, so she chose not to enter into a pre-poll alliance, even going so far as saying Rahul Gandhi is just a kid. Well, that is certainly fake news because we know Rahul Gandhi is almost 49 years old, which is way younger than Mamata's 64 years for sure, but a kid, he most certainly is not. Now, on the topic of kids, I know you all watch Game of Thrones. Arya Stark is not a kid either. You know, all that Twitter explosion that took place over the weekend about that special scene that she enjoyed. No, she was not a kid. She's well over 18 years and it looks like she could be dying in the next episode. So let her have her fun with the rowing champion we call Gendry. Thank you. But returning to the Game of Thrones in India, we look next at other battleground states and what the alliances there look like. In Maharashtra, relations between the Congress Party and the Nationalist Congress Party, that is NCP of Sharad Pawar, have certainly seen better days. According to the Economic Times, Sharad Pawar has had a checkered history with the National Party, and we all know how things have been in the past. Bihar, which is where we turn to now, which saw voting in 5 of its 40 Lok Sabha seats today, has undergone a pronounced change since the last general elections in 2014. In the absence of any potent third front in the state, Bihar is set to witness bipolar elections between the NDA, comprising BJP, JDU and LJP, and the Grand Alliance, which includes the RJD, Congress, RLSP, HAM and VIP. Now, they all sound like they're just random combinations of different letters, but trust me, they're all parties. According to Sanjay Singh on the Economic Times, the left parties, that is CPI and CPIM, are fighting for political survival in a few Lok Sabha constituencies. So, there's a lot that hangs in the balance in Bihar. The big shift in 2019 is that the arch rivals of 2014, that is BJP and JDU, are now allies this time around. Game of Thrones has nothing on Indian elections, that's all I have to say. When are you foes? When are you friends? You never know. Sharad Yadav, who is a key confidant of Nitish Kumar, is now in the opposition camp, as is BJP's Patna Sahib MP Shatrughan Sinha. Him melting down after being denied a ticket was a sight to behold. Meanwhile, the RJD is fighting its first Lok Sabha election without its iconic mass leader and hilarious man Lalu Prasad Yadav, who is in jail after being convicted in a fodder scam case, which is just as true as well. His son, Tejashwi, has been trying to keep the party going as the negotiations over seat sharing picked up steam in the last couple of months. So that's where Bihar and Maharashtra are hanging in terms of political alliances. While the Congress is seeking to regain ground after ceding its dominant position in several states, the BJP is looking to enter new regions with the help of local partners. In the 130 Lok Sabha seats from southern India, across 5 states and 1 union territory in South India, Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, Kerala, Tamil Nadu and Puducherry, the Congress and BJP have only 20 seats each, while regional parties account for more than 80 seats. Now, insecurities of the local partner, including the fear of being wiped out, is also a factor facilitating alliances. The deaths of the greats of Tamil Nadu politics, J. Jayalalitha and M. Karunanidhi, has left a key state open to electoral machinations, that is, Tamil Nadu. Karunanidhi's family, which runs the Dravida Munnetra Kalagam or DMK, has hitched its wagon to the Congress, while the All India Anna Dravida Munnetra Kalagam or AIADMK, Jayalalitha's party, has thrown in its lot with the BJP. Now, this is new because the BJP has one MP from the state, while the Congress has none. Zero. Sonne. The All India Anna Dravida Munnetra Kalagam, AIADMK, is hoping its alliance with the BJP would save it from a totally crushing defeat. The Congress, on the other hand, with a vote share of just over 4.3% in Tamil Nadu, is hoping to regain some ground, riding on the back of a seemingly resurgent DMK. That is the Dravida Munnetra Kalagam or Karunanidhi's party. In Karnataka, the fun state that it is, the one southern state where the BJP is expected to garner a substantial number of seats in 2019, distrust and bitterness between the two ruling coalition partners, that is JDS, Janata Dal Secular, and the Congress, has been overt and dramatic. When has it not been? Ever since the alliance has been formed. While the two partners are competing in the Kaveri Basin districts, that is like your Mandya, Mysore, etc., an analysis in The Hindu claims, quote, their complex chemistry in North Karnataka could have a significant impact on the prospects of the alliance in this BJP stronghold, unquote. Now, JDS is a marginal player in the 14 constituencies, 10 of which are, by the way, held by the BJP, which vote on the 23rd of April. But as The Hindu went on to note, and I quote, the transfer of its votes will be critical in Raichur and Koppala, where teething problems remain, while the ability of the coalition's workers to work together could break into the BJP fortresses in Shivamogga and Davangere, unquote. As one report in the Hindustan Times went on to note, the Congress might have a difficult time in convincing its local leaders to rally behind what they could perceive as a top-down alliance with the JDS, unquote. Now that brings us to another state and another political stalwart, one who stormed out of the NDA and struck out on his own, claiming he was insulted and worse, given false promises regarding special status to Andhra Pradesh. All bluster aside, N. Chandrababu Naidu is under the gun this election. YS Jagan Mohan Reddy, or YSR, has become a serious threat to Naidu's Telugu Desam Party, TDP, and as a result, Chandrababu has had to forge an alliance with the Congress Party, even going so far as to portray Reddy as an agent for the BJP. Modi's pet dogs were his words of choice, if I recall right. Talk about being spiteful. Andhra, oi. For CBN, that is Chandrababu Naidu, this strategy may yet pay dividends, but does having Naidu on his side help Rahul Gandhi? That's the question. An Economic Times article went on to claim, and I quote, in Telangana, he remains the main Khalnayak. Rahul Gandhi, that is. Rahul Gandhi as Sanjay Dutt is an interesting image, since he was opposed to the formation of a separate state. One senior Congress leader admitted that the leader had become a Galeka Haddi, bone stuck in throat, for the Congress, unquote. From Andhra, we move on to another southern state, one in which Rahul Gandhi even has a presence. Coming to Kerala, Business Standard painted a rather dire picture for the leftist allies. It said, and I quote, it is a do-or-die battle for both the ruling CPIM-led LDF and opposition Congress-headed UDF in most of the 20 Lok Sabha seats this time in the state, known for its decades-long bipolar politics, unquote. The BJP sees an opportunity to win a couple of Lok Sabha seats for the first time in the state. The vote share is set to see a considerable rise all over the state thanks to its stand against the Supreme Court verdict on the Shabrimala issue. A Deccan Herald report claimed that the left front, which is concerned about the BJP's rise in Kerala, could back the Congress tactically to ensure that the BJP does not open its Lok Sabha account in Kerala. Now, if there's a truth universally acknowledged, it is that the BJP is not a dish they enjoy in Kerala. Kerala, there are several others that the people in Kerala enjoy that the BJP, well, does not quite. Now, turning to the northeast, the BJP managed to bring the Ashram Gana Parishad, that is AGP, back into the NDA just prior to the elections. BJP is contesting 10 seats, AGP 3, and Bodoland People's Front 1. AGP had quit the alliance in January, opposing the Citizenship Amendment Bill, or CAB. According to Deccan Herald, BJP is contesting both seats in Manipur, Tripura and Arunachal Pradesh and supporting its ally NPP in one of the two seats in Meghalaya. It sees a bright chance of winning the two seats in Tripura. In Nagaland, it is supporting ally NDPP's candidate, but in Mizoram, it has fielded a candidate against its NEDA partner, Mizo National Front, that is MNF, unquote. A Live Mint report noted that these parties started distancing themselves from the CAB, but with the centre, quote, putting the CAB on hold, the anti-CAB forces celebrated what they thought was their victory. holding back the bill hasn't sufficiently allayed the fears of the tribal minorities in the region, who foresee a deluge of Hindu immigrants from Bangladesh numbering 12 million. Unquote. And finally, no election is complete without some hilariously anticlimactic moments. More than a few political leaders across many parties are disgruntled. And consequently, 2019's election, while bitter, has thrown up some humor as well, because what is an election season without some feet-in-mouth situations? Even as the Congress and the SP-BSP-RLD alliance are trying to ensure that the NDA doesn't sweep Uttar Pradesh like it did 5 years ago, Congress leader Naseemuddin Siddiqui cautioned voters against voting for the SP-BSP-RLD alliance or the Mahagathbandhan, saying they should either vote for BJP or for the Congress candidate Ratna Singh. Campaigning in Pratapgarh in eastern Uttar Pradesh, Siddiqui said, and I quote, "I'm not taking the name of any caste, as all are wise enough. I'm saying this to those who oppose BJP. Either give your vote to Ratna Singh or to BJP. Voting somebody else means selling yourself. Now only tickets are being sold, later on you will get sold also." He explained, "I know Mayawati more than she knows herself. When there was no Mahagathbandhan, party tickets were sold at 5 to 10 crore rupees, but post-alliance, the tickets are sold at 25 to 30 crore rupees. We're being sold." Unquote.
Well, the Deep Dive podcast series, Political Alliances and the Scramble for Power.
Well, that then is the story of the political alliances which could potentially lead to a grand coalition at the centre after the 23rd of May. Or not. If the alliance does come to pass, we can be certain of one thing. It will not be boring. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.